point he appeared contagious. She might have to take action. She looked away from Tree for a moment at the cockpit screens. The signal from Dale's ship was still on the tracker, still 8 million kilometers ahead of them. She could not take any risks. But she knew she could never throw Tree from the airlock alive. "Use my cot to rest," she said. "I'll clean it up. Drink plenty of water." Tree did not argue. He pushed past her, lay on her cot, and slept almost instantly. Lannery looked down at the vomit spread across the cockpit floor. "I wish you had arms," she said to Ironholgs. The droid grated something that sounded like a chuckle. Over the next 2 days, Tree did not grow any worse, but neither did he improve. He ate small amounts of food, but more often than not brought it back up. He drank plenty of water. Shivering and sweating in Lannery's cot, his sleep was troubled, and his dream mumblings were incoherent and disturbing. Lannery spent most of the time in her cockpit seat, keeping track of Dale's ship and catching brief, uncomfortable naps. Her dreams were vague and unpleasant. She woke more than once with the idea that something was flapping silently about her head, slashing with barbed tendrils and seeking her blood. And she had one dream where she watched from outside the system as Tython itself, and Tythos, and then every planet and moon that orbited it, was swallowed to nothing. Billions of lives and loves and dreams wiped out almost in the blink of an eye. As they approached Sunspot at last, she accessed the ship's computers to remind herself about the damned place. She knew that environmentally it was even more unwelcoming and harsh than Nox. Her research reminded her how much so. Sunspot was the first planet of the system. Its orbit sometimes took it as close as 48 million kilometers from Tythos. It was considered a solid planet, yet much of its surface was in constant turmoil, volcanoes and quakes changing its landscape almost from day to day. Its more settled areas were mainly at the poles, and it was here that the scattered mining communities were located. It was perhaps the harshest inhabited environment in the Tython system, yet the rewards for the miners were huge. Most only lasted one or two seasons before leaving the planet and vowing never to return. Around 10% of those who went to Sunspot seeking their fortunes died there. It was a hungry planet, and though it gave, it also took as much as it could. It was also a curiosity in the system, because it orbited counter to every other planet. There were those who speculated that it was a rogue planetoid, tumbled into Tythos's gravity well in the distant past. This raised some startling ramifications, and 3,000 years ago there had been a series of exploratory missions visiting the planet, searching for any signs of previous habitation. But none had ever been found. No trace of civilizations, no ruins, no evidence that any sort of life had ever flourished there. Sunspot was a dead planet that breathed the white-hot breath of molten rock, and the rest of the system regarded it merely as a resource. Even approaching Sunspot's dark side, the violence of its surface was obvious. It radiated a steady glow from a fine network of volcano ranges and magma lakes and rivers, and the shadows of noxious gas clouds the size of a continent filtered the light, turning it an almost attractive pinkish hue. "Southern Pole," Lannery said. Dale's ship had slowed considerably and was entering the atmosphere, swinging around to approach Sunspot's south pole from the planet's dark side. She had already calculated a similar path, and the Peacemaker's computer was taking them in. There was a possibility that Lannery could even close the gap between them and shoot Dale down before he landed. Her customized laser cannons were powerful and accurate, and the Peacemaker carried 4 drone missiles that were effective at 800,000 kilometers. But if she missed, he would be alerted to her presence. Yes. That was why she didn't open fire. The advantage of surprise. She convinced herself of this as she made ready to take to the surface, and Tree watched her every move.
"I wish I could come with you," he said for the 10th time.
"No, you don't," Lannery said.
"True, I don't. You take me to the nicest places,"
says the Twi'lek who took me to the pits. Tree watched as Lannery prepared herself. She changed her clothing, and lacking her lost sword, she plucked a spare sword from a cabinet beneath her cot. It was the weapon she had trained with before Master Tem Madog had forged her own. She hefted it in her hands, swung it several times, and remembered its weight. It was a surprising comfort.
"It becomes you," Tree said.
"It'll have to do." She sheathed the sword, the screech lizard sheath remained at her hip, and knelt by the cot again. She removed two blasters from the cabinet and slipped them into her belt. Tree watched, eyebrows raised. Lannery only shrugged. A chime from the cockpit signaled that their descent had begun. She felt the familiar shifting in her stomach as they entered the atmosphere and the peacemaker's grav units faded out, and she watched Tree, wondering if he'd vomit again. But he held himself together. She indicated that he should strap himself in, then sat next to him on the cot.
"You don't want to land the ship yourself?"
he asked. "I will, once we're close to the surface. But Tree," she squeezed his shoulder, "I'm leaving you in my peacemaker. My ship. This is my home, and I'm trusting you to treat it well."
"I'll guard it," he said.
"Ironhulks can do that, and the ship has its own defenses. Just don't touch anything. Anything."
"Trust me,"
he said, smiling. His eyes were watery and weak, his skin pale, Leku limp. "I have to," she said. The peacemaker rocked and kicked as it sliced down into Sunspot's violent atmosphere. Lights glowed, warnings chimed from the control panels, and the screens darkened as heat burned across the hull. Lannery climbed into her flight seat, taking control of the ship. She checked the scanner, uploaded a terrain map onto another screen, and accessed the ship's computer to download as much information as she could find about the area. Dale and his stargazers had landed at a small mining outpost called Ran Dan's Folly. According to her records, the mine worked a deep source of plutonium and marionium, both elements used to power ships' drives, and that could also be weaponized. The mine had been in existence for almost 100 years, and there seemed to be nothing spectacular about it that set it aside from any other Sunspot business concern. A tragedy 30 years ago in which 100 miners lost their lives, a strike 18 years ago that led to violent riots, and an eventual buyout by the workforce and their families off-planet. Shipping and trade deals with parties on at least 3 planets, including Tython. If Randan's Folly was a source of dark matter, nothing had ever been noticed, and no one knew. No one but Dale. Lannery experienced a brief, chilling fear that her brother had found the tracking device she'd planted on him and placed it on another ship. She'd followed for